We've returned.
Okay, thank God. I know we're recording this time before I say something fucking stupid.
You never say anything stupid.
Well, I think some commenters may disagree, but shout out to everyone listening to this episode and the show. Thank you again for returning to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about fragrance and everything surrounding it.
Agreed. About smells and scent and our whatever we feel like oversharing today.
Trauma.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. Sorry. I dipped last week.
I get it, man. You got to get out of the city.
I know. It was really nice. We went back to Rockford, where my parents, famously my home. It was so nice. It was so
ancestral land.
Nice. Yes, exactly. It was really lovely to get the hell out of here. We went there like Thursday to Tuesday, which surprisingly felt like an actual vacation.
5 days is solid.
Yeah, it was really nice. So,
because I don't count the travel days.
We worked it out. So like we got there really early Thursday. So we had the whole day, which was nice.
That's good.
So,
yeah, that's good. Great.
And it's such an easy flight.
What is it, like 2 hours from here?
It's not all in. It's not even 2 hours in the air. It's really nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
Dude, I got to get out of this city.
You do. I can feel it.
Someone invite me to your summer home. Invite me to Nantucket. There's so many programs about rich people on these coastal islands. And I'm like, I want to do that and then be able to dip because I don't want to live there.
I might.
Maybe. The global warming of it all scares me. But yeah, I would love an East Coast coastal town summer. But that's just me manifesting that.
Yeah.
It is funny. I remember seeing a reel or something where someone was like, does like media not understand what's going on in the culture where everything's like, have you heard of the Hamptons? Have you tried the $100 lobster roll in the Hamptons? But it does feel very loud. The class aspiration of it all, where everyone's talking about what's going on in the Hamptons. I'm like, who cares?
I think for the last 2-3 years, everyone on TikTok has been yapping about old money and quiet luxury. And it's been that aspirational wealth aesthetic. Yeah. And I think people have found out.
People have found out about rich people.
Let me take that one back. I think it's just led into people discovering the Hamptons and people who that may have not been a part of their life, or they have.
It's the newest micro niche or aesthetic.
Graduated into that tax bracket. And that's, I do think the contentification of the Hamptons, et cetera. Not that I have not been guilty of that in the past as well, but those aren't my homes.
It's a lot.
So
it's a lot. It is. I used to go camping in Montauk every summer because I grew up on Long Island and it was like literally a state park campground that was on the beach. There was no electricity and there was just a bunch of locals. It was really fun. It's also really fun when you're young and like you don't need amenities. So
I say this so respectfully. Yeah. I can never imagine you at any age not needing amenities. And that applies to me as well.
Okay. There was like you showered in a shared bathhouse basically. Mm-hmm. So there was like plumbing. Okay. It wasn't like shitting in the woods.
Okay. Thank you, Sable.
There was civilization, but it was really fun. And now it's inaccessible to me.
Not inaccessible by way of a brand.
True.
Sable sees you brands
can be bought.
Doing those activations out in the Hamptons and Nantucket. And she wants to know what's good.
What is good?
And you're a fashion girl now. You were in The Strategist this week talking about your favorite topic, big pants.
Big pants. Big pants, little top. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Or whereas big pants, big top.
Where I am a big top, little pants, as evidenced by my outfit today. I'm wearing the biggest shirt possible and a tiny pair of shorts that are pink.
I could do that. I could switch, but I love big pants and I cannot lie.
You've always been big pants presenting.
I'm big pants sun, little top rising. No, The Strategist is really fun to write for, honestly. I love a place where the editor trusts the writer and doesn't over edit them.
Love
that.
Yes.
And they pay you on time. It's great.
I have a piece, Lord willing, going live on Monday for Couverture. And I feel the exact same way about my editor there, Faith. And I have always felt that way about her. I love working with her.
What are you writing about? Can you share?
Yeah, I can't tell. I had fun with it.
Okay.
Sometimes I just hyperfixate about things for 6 weeks and then write about them.
Same.
Maybe a great idea. It may be neoliberal psychosis. I'm not quite sure. But I was noticing, like late spring, butter yellow is a thing right now.
Yeah.
It's like the color of the summer, whatever. Yeah. We're all having fun with pale butter yellow. But I started noticing more and more butter itself showing up in beauty campaigns.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Mm-hmm. And it just was so frequent by so many brands across fragrance, complexion, color, whatever, skincare. I was like, okay, this is a trend, but it's happening alongside the trad wife thing and the carnivore diet and beef tallow and all of these things. And it, so anyways, the piece is like, are these things connected? Are they not? Basically, like, the way that we're marketed to matters, and we should think critically, blah, 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 which I think we'll talk about later today in this episode. But yeah, I'm really excited. And it was one of those things where I was like, ooh, I got to pitch this to the right person. And luckily, and I was also really hungry to write for the strategist. Nope, come to her. But yeah, she was into it. I know, I really love, like you said, when an editor trusts their writer and knows how to edit them and all of that. I've been really lucky to write for people who, like, get it, by and large. But Faith has always been the one. This is a Faith Shoe podcast, everyone. Please read Coventure. So that should be out by the time this episode goes live.
They're doing, like, a lot of produced content, I've noticed. Like, they have a lot of original photography in their features, which is cool. So I'm like, all right, guys, remember content?
Remember content.
Magazines?
Yeah, I think that they realize the value of, not to repeat what you just said, original content.
Original,
because
like a point of view, an aesthetic, a creative direction. Well, all fashion, of you creative so directors are not creative or directing.
Yeah, you're just wearing a hat.
You're wearing a hat and you're using Canva.
Their video content is also largely original too. Yeah. And they're, it's thank God when they came back and you really feel their presence again in editorial, which I think is really nice. So.
Yeah. Looking at the rest of y'all. Make cool content and pay me to do it.
Sable's looking for a job.
Yes and no. Because here's the thing. I say this not to get all like woo-wee on you, but every time I'm like, I think I need to do this, or I think I'd like to do this, the universe is like, okay, here. And then I'm like, not like that.
Ooh, yeah.
No, not that way.
Yeah, I feel you.
So it's almost, I was going to say, it's almost like when someone's like, why won't anyone date me? And then someone's like, I'll date you. And you're like, not you.
Yeah.
It's like almost like that.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I was like, I would like work. And they're like, how about this work? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But you know what? Saying no feels really good. Because it's a great way to make sure you're not wasting your own time. And by wasting your own time, because some people are like, it's money. Like, you're not wasting your time. You're making money. I'm like, I've always thought this in a kind of cavalier way. But I was like, money is the easiest thing in the world to get if you don't care how you get it. But I unfortunately do care.
We are so different.
Yeah. I think. I know.
I think I'm that other person you were talking about where I'm like, you got a check. I got talent. Let's go.
There's some things like, I don't care about if it's easy. And I'm like, sure. Yeah. I'm not doing anything. I could do that. But then sometimes I'm like, I just really don't. I don't care. And it takes the emotional blockage I have towards doing stuff like that is too strong.
Which is fair.
But I could benefit from being a little bit more ambitious. I have project ideas. I'm just the blockages again.
What are the blockages?
I don't know. That's the thing. I've been telling other friends these ideas I've had for a while. And they're the same ideas. And I keep ruminating on them. Like, I think about them often. And I just don't know what the first step is. I think the first step would also be like having money, but
I think the one idea you talk about, you don't need as much money as you're telling yourself you do.
I think you're
right. And you could definitely get it from a sponsorship. Easy.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that's another thing. I think I just need to be out in the world more and talk to people who are in the position. Yeah. See, my blockage is it's impossible for me to ask for help. So that is my blockage I need to overcome.
I do feel like your manager sometimes, where I'm like, just ask them.
I know. Oh my gosh. You told me.
It's fine. You can say it.
Okay, so Tynan, my momager, coached me into this. And it didn't work out, but I'm glad that you told me to do it.
They didn't work. Those cuts. Sorry.
Okay, so I got an email this week from a trade publication that's new.
Which one is it? We can edit out.
I think they're new-ish. I don't know who owns them. I don't know if they're... I would assume they're an independent publication, but sometimes people just say that and they're not.
Yeah.
And they were basically like, you've been selected. Die Hot with a Vengeance. Eau de Parfum has been selected in our like beauty awards as best lifestyle product, something. So I don't remember the category, honestly. Mm-hmm. For an award, whatever, a beauty award.
Yeah.
And they were like, if you'd like to participate, please read through this deck. And the deck just tells you the judges, the voting process, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, next steps, please send us $950. And I was like, no. What the heck?
Which sounds like a scam, but...
It does.
But not to defend them because it is whack, but all of these beauty awards...
They're all fucking pay to play.
...that you see...
They are.
There is always an entry fee
because
it is a lucrative part of the year for them. It's how they make a lot of money.
Yep.
So Sable wasn't getting scammed. I mean, I think $950 is a scam period, but you know, it is par for the course. But I will say, having been on brand side, you see a lot of the buy-ins and they're never that much fucking money.
Well, that's what more people told me too.
Yeah.
All of my editor friends who worked at all the beauty mags, who have all the like official, actually recognized award seals. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, we never charged. Mm-hmm. Or they're like, that's a lot of money. We don't charge that much. It's maybe like $300.
It's like, I would say 3 to 6 tops.
Yeah. And the way this publication phrased it, they're like, we do all the social promo for you. And I was like, cool. Mm-hmm. And if I was a brand, I could see this being an investment because totally. You do get the promo, you do get the recognition. It looks good for your investors, blah, blah, blah. But I am a person, and this is a limited product. I have like maybe 35 bottles left, and then it's gone forever.
Yeah. We were talking, and I was like, just ask them to waive it. Like, yeah. It is yeah. out of pocket for them to ask you, a person with a yeah. passion project, to pay a G to be in yeah. their awards when, you know, you're not Benefit Cosmetics, that no. is not even a rounding error no. for them. You're a
like,
person.
This isn't going to move units for me.
Exactly. So I was just like, ask them to waive it. If they say no, it's yeah. a bad look for them. Yeah. So it's a win-win for you. Apparently, yeah. they said no.
They said no. They said it in a way that they're like, here's what the money pays for. I'm like, I don't care what the money pays for.
I'm not a
you
business.
You are a business.
Yeah, yeah, you're a business. I am yeah. a person. Anyway.
But yeah, although I'm genuinely curious who put my perfume in that ring. And also looking at the deck and the deadlines, some had passed. I was like, okay, so that means other people declined and were like, who are you? No.
They're probably just behind on their shit.
Of course. Of course. So I'm like, cool. So nobody cares about your stupid little awards. Good.
Die Hot with a Vengeance has already won the most important award, which is the love and recognition of our listeners.
Agreed. Agreed.
So suck it. yes. That's crazy. I got a bone to pick with them. I'll remember that.
I was kind of like, this is not, like, what?
Yeah. Weird all around, to be honest.
It was really weird. I don't know. Even if I was a brand, I don't think that would do anything personally for me. Unless I was fundraising. And I'm not.
It's a good look, I will say. The brand I work with right now has been approached for these sorts of things. And we've gone in for, I would say, probably half of them, okay. the more relevant ones, yeah, because
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, if you're going to pay for it, pay mm-hmm. for one that actually fucking matters.
Exactly. We did turn one down. I think we turned that one.
Good.
Because it was less relevant and the buy-in yeah. was so much. Yeah. I actually even asked our PR. I was like, shh, we can move forward with this if you think it's a good idea. And they're like, no. So
good.
You're not out anything.
I don't care about clout as much as I care about like connection and meaning. So for me, I'm like, I'm already successful in that regard. This would be nice if this was a brand, maybe, but mm-hmm. again, no. And also, how dare you?
Yeah. The audacity.
The audacity. See, this is like the part I feel like if we had paid subscribers, I'd be like, listen to the paid subscribers, get the tea on who it was.
We will never know. No, that no, is no, not. No. We say enough kidding, for free, kidding. Okay?
Just kidding. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like Maui in a Bottle Sweet Banana.
Oh my gosh.
By Kayali. And I am soaked in it.
Oh my God. Say the name again.
Maui in a Bottle Sweet Banana. It's jeez. Like header, subheader.
Yeah.
So last summer, Kayali put out a collection of 4 mini bottles because Kayali started with a layering concept before they really blew up. I think they kind of walked away from it when they refreshed their brand and mm-hmm. went with these really big, loud, sweet fragrances. But these... the way that they were put out as minis in a collection of 4, you could buy them one by one or as a set, did certainly lean back into the layering concept. And I felt this coming, but this year they put them out all as full sizes.
Yep.
And they reached out to me about them, and I was really curious. I don't know why I didn't call them in last year, but anyways, now I have them. And we'll start with this one. So Banana's having a moment.
It is.
Whether we like it or not. And this is... really, this is actually the third time I've worn this fragrance this week. It's the thing about this fragrance and this collection of 4 is that while Kayali usually goes, they do this really nice job of balancing the literal note that they're building mm-hmm. around with the whole concept around it. You get what you're hungry for out of the name, mm-hmm. but it bolsters it by the rest of the things that you bolster a fragrance with. These lean a bit more perfume than they do a Kayali concept.
Gotcha.
Which I think is really interesting because this, you get banana, but I don't smell like a banana runt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Runts?
Yeah, the candies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love them.
Or Laffy Taffy. Like
the extinct bananas.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I feel that way for all 4 of these. I think they're all really nice too.
What are the other ones?
I could tell you. Here we go. Okay, so we have... this is all about being transportive, blah, blah, blah. So it's like location in a bottle and then fruit. So we have Maui in a Bottle, Sweet Banana. Capri in a Bottle, ooh, Lemon Sugar. Marrakesh in a bottle, Orange Blossom, and Maldives in a bottle, Ylang Coco.
I like the concept of the island theme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're all just like really beautiful. I'm Kaoli coated down. Yeah. It's fine. These are, like I said, less what you'd think of from Kaoli and a little bit more just traditional just perfume.
Just perfume.
Just perfume. Really hearing out, obviously, the notes.
Do you get, if you didn't know it was banana, would you clock the banana?
Well, let me ask you that.
Okay, so I'm getting a cold, so my smell is not great.
No, you don't get it?
I just get perfume.
Yeah, it's sweet.
That perfume smell.
Right. It's sweet and like yeah. mealy like a banana, mm. but there's a lot around it.
Yeah.
What around it, you ask? I'll tell you. We have sweet banana, coconut cream, gardenia, jasmine, rum, sandalwood, vanilla, bourbon. So yeah, there's just, it's really nicely balanced and it doesn't scream banana at you, which I think I am at peace with. I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I really enjoy all four in the collection. I thought Capri in a bottle, lemon sugar was really creamy, actually. Maldives in a bottle, Ylang Coco. The first note in that was rosemary, which I thought was really interesting. And it did have this weird sort of not savory and not even like herbaceous, but it mm-hmm. had this weird sort of itchy, like bouncy chewiness to it. Ooh. It was very weird.
I feel like Kaolis are good with the chewiness. Uh-huh. They're good with the texture.
Yeah. And then Marrakesh in a bottle, Orange Blossom, I was not excited for it. And that, I might be in my white florals era because that one.
Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. Was really just lovely. And you know how Orange Blossom sometimes smells just like bubblegum?
No, but I follow you. I follow you.
Yeah. You got a little bit of that okay. from it. It was really nice. So yeah, I essentially like everything Kaoli does because sometimes you like a mass fragrance.
Do you consider Kaoli mass?
Yes.
I kind of consider them on the niche side, but
I think niche has taken on a whole different
meaning. Yeah.
I think right now we're in like the niche fragrance Olympics.
But I guess they're in Sephora.
They're global. Yeah, right. Yeah, they're very much not. I think that they are, in the same breath there, I also do not consider them an indie, but I consider them like quote unquote independent since Mona's running the show.
Exactly.
In a way that I love. Yeah,
I think that's why I think of it as niche because like she's so close to it. She does things that are aligned with her personality, not necessarily,
right.
I'm sure, yeah, like her marketing team is like, we should do this, mm-hmm. but it's always done through her lens.
Yes, exactly.
It's very clear.
Right. So I loved it. I love this banana fragrance. I was really curious about it. I don't know if it's the one I'm going to go back to the most because, again, mm-hmm. I really like the Marrakesh orange flower and, I don't know, I like them all. But, yeah, so take that banana fragrance. Kaoli came for the gold.
That's like the fourth one now that we've encountered. There's the Hakuna Matata one. Mm-hmm. The Thu House of Oud. The weird peanut butter banana sandwich one.
Yeah.
How about the other one?
Isn't Prada now? I know they're doing
the
banana.
Yeah, they have like the banana candies. What's that?
That was, don't get me started. But I saw them talking about a Paradox flanker with banana. So I'm like,
I need
that. Is it coming? Is it out? What's going on here?
Yeah. Hit them up and be like, so.
Right. Sable, what do you smell like today?
So speaking of mass, I can confidently say the most basic thing about me is that I was going to say love. Then I was like, I don't know. I like the Victoria's Secret Bear line.
Is that basic?
Yes, it is. So the Bear line just released a new flanker called Bear Suede Vanilla. And when I got the press release, they called out wild saffron, creamy sandalwood, and vanilla milk.
Oh, this smells just like alcohol. Hold on. Sorry.
Well, let it dissipate.
I'm sorry,
Jesus.
I'm like immediately butt-tugging it out of the bottle.
So obviously you say saffron, my ears will be pricked. And I think also the ease at which I can just say, hey, can you send that to me? And someone's like, sure. And then a messenger shows up at my apartment in 3 hours. I'm like, great. So yeah, obviously the accessibility is what brings it into my orbit. Yeah. But I think this is the best one. I think this is the softest. Like, you really get the suede texture of it. It's less sparkly, but it still has that nice, really crystalline kind of quality to it. The first one, the like musky crystal, but then this one also has a really soft, velvety, suede-y kind of texture to it. And then the vanilla makes it like warmer and more like tonic. It's really nice. And unfortunately, again, I've worn it a few times the past week, and like every time I wear it, somebody compliments me. So I'm like,
you said this was vanilla, saffron, and suede?
Sandalwood. I think suede is the overall effect of those. I was trying to look up who made it, and I don't I'm not finding it.
You want to know what this smells exactly like?
What?
This.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, and those in between, I am looking at Sol de Janeiro Churrosa 59 Delicia Durange Perfume Mist. This is the more recent one. It's the purple one. It's the spider's one.
Yes, the alleged wolf spider aphrodisiac.
Sorry, Sol de. Do you not?
They do smell really similar. Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's like,
I think the Churrosa is more candy.
Vanilla orchid, sheer sandalwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same shit.
Like, I get a lot more of the floral in that one, but yeah. You got me. Just roast me on air, why don't you?
No, I'm with it. We like both those brands.
We do.
I kind of want to put this on.
Put it on. Okay. I can't believe... why does Fragrantica not have the perfumer?
The perfumer is probably a computer.
Because I know Frank Vocal did the Bare Rose.
Oh, that's right.
The Bare Rose.
Sorry, Frank.
He might have actually had a hand in all of them, so it would not surprise me. I do think it's interesting, like, when I was opening the box, that they, like, the copy on the box said something like, the last ingredient is you, and I'm like, okay, so we're just ripping Glossier,
God,
like,
off. Still?
Like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, this is...
You gotta come up with a better way to say that. Also, that's true of all perfume.
Right. This is really pretty, I get it.
It's so pretty.
This is, like, impossible not to love.
I know.
It's a little... It's not derogatory. It's a little simplistic, I
yes.
feel.
Yes. But it is giving, it's nice to be a West Village girl.
Be nice. Be nice.
But it is nice to be them because they don't think about...
I am a West Village girl.
They don't think about it the way other people think about it. And that's great for them. And you know what? Enjoy it. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy your parents' money.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, this is quite nice. I think the bottle's just really pretty, too.
I like this bottle. Mm. It's the same shape, but it's like a, this like kind of pinky beige frosted glass.
It's an orb.
It's like a droplet orb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Whatever. So I like to smell pretty. What?
You do, and that's great. Some people like to smell pretty.
Some people like to smell other ways.
All right. So okay. I don't really want to talk about this to be all...
Wait. Do we want to do this or do you want to do a voice note?
Voice note.
Okay.
Hi, Sabelin Tynan. A couple months ago, I was reading an article that was talking about a newly discovered sarcophagus, and they were talking about the really unique smell of the mummy and of the experience of opening the sarcophagus. And that kind of had me thinking and wondering if you guys had any like really weird or out there or rare experiences or objects that you would love to smell. I love the pod. Thank you, guys.
First of all, thank you for the question. We'll get yes. to it in a minute. First of all, I just want to say, you know we don't need to be doing in 2025, opening a sarcophagus. Y'all are getting too comfortable.
Did you guys not see The Mummies?
Please.
1, 2, 3, and I think up to 5?
We don't...
You mustn't read from the book.
No, we don't need to be toying with ghosts
no.
and spirits and ghouls.
I don't want
here.
An Imhotep coming back.
No, they leave it alone. We got other people to deal with who are
Seriously.
Living.
We have living ghouls.
Literally. Jesus Christ. And ew, I also don't want to smell a mummy.
I don't want to smell a mummy.
That smells like death.
It reminded me of the time that the house I grew up in.
What's it going to be?
I think a bunch of squirrels got trapped in the eaves of the roof or in the walls or something. And then it just started smelling really bad. And it was the first time I had encountered the smell of death. And I was like, oh, this has a visceral emotional reaction where like your instinct is yeah. away from here. Bye. And I never want to have to smell it again.
I also love that this voice. Okay, what do y'all want to smell?
So I'm glad you asked.
So, what is your answer?
Fuck, I don't know, man. I want to smell what, like.
Should I go first?
Go first.
I want to smell Angeline's pink Corvette.
Oh, very specific. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just such a Hollywood icon. The car is as, if not more iconic than Angeline is. And I would love to, because you know how everyone's car has a smell and it smells like their life. Like yeah. maybe they do keep a body mist in there. Maybe it's a Diet Coke that melted or a pack of gum or a leather jacket or whatever. I think her car would smell incredible. So that is definitely what I want to smell.
Nice. Angeline?
Angeline. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh my God.
Who is Angeline?
Oh my God. So Angeline is this woman who lives in LA and
okay oh I've seen her okay
no one really and the big thing is she always has a pink Corvette
okay
and I believe the license plate just says Angeline and it's just an LA like thing
okay
but no one knows if I'm correct in saying no one really knows where she came from or how she got there And she got modeling gigs and she got quote unquote acting gigs, but like no one really knows her deal.
Yeah.
Or how it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just all this mystery around her. But yeah, she just whips this pink Corvette around Sunset Boulevard and it's always like a sighting. You're right. The original It Girl, Julia Fox found rotting.
I feel like to be an It Girl, no one has to know what you do. Like everyone has to be confused.
Yes. Yes. I feel like to be an It Girl, you can't really do anything that takes away the glamour of it. Oh my God. Charlie XCX got married.
Oh, good for her. To that guy.
Breaking news. Yeah, that bald guy. Brad Summer's over.
Brad Summer's over. She's married. Shut it down.
Back to you, Sable.
I would love to smell the smell of sweet victory. That's all I can think about. I don't know. I want to travel. I want to go places. I want to, you know what I want to smell? That like, it. There's like always photos of it everywhere. Or like people always take videos of it. It's like the pool that's in the ocean in like Sydney.
No.
There's like this famous fucking pool in Sydney that's in the ocean. It's like an infinity pool in the ocean.
Okay.
And several people, at least three I can remember, have told me, they're like, there's these amazing like jasmine bushes around that area. Or maybe it was jacaranda. I don't remember. But they were like, you would love that smell. So I was like, cool. I'll put it on my list of things to smell.
Don't tell this woman to go to Australia. Please don't bring it back into our lives. I'm seeing a lot of infinity pools in Australia.
Sydney, I think it's called like the rock pools. Sydney, or maybe I'm just thinking of the scent. Sydney rock pool. Googling. Nope, that's literally the Arquiste scent. Sydney pool Bondi. Is that it? It's on Bondi. Yes. The Bondi Icebergs pool. Is that more of my basicness showing?
Show me. Oh. Is that just like a hotel?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like all the pools I've encountered have been these like 3 foot deep hotel pools that people just sit in, or there's like children playing in them. And I'm like, cool. So I can't actually swim in this. I can just float. That's not fun for me. I want to be able to like do laps competitively.
I just want to float, man.
I love floating, but I love diving down. It's so satisfying to go as deep as you can and then come back up. But that's just me and the way that I like pools.
Local women discover swimming.
Yeah. I would like to smell that. That is on my list of things to smell.
I would like to smell it.
I would like to smell it.
Okay. Okay. So I feel like we have to talk about this, but I sort of don't want to. But here we are. I feel like we owe it to, I don't know who.
We don't owe it to anybody.
It's going
to
be low-key old news by the time this drops. But this past week, there came, I don't know how, because they had no followers, but the fragrance community started noticing that there had been a newly introduced AI fragrance influencer. And
lols.
Yeah. And it had like just come out. There was an Instagram account that had 4 in-feed posts that were all very weird. And then I saw
they were super glitchy.
They were mostly like still carousels of her posturing as a real West Village girl.
Yeah.
And then I saw one like AI video front facing of this quote unquote girl talking. Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
Audio was super janky though.
And yeah, the mouth like wasn't moving. Yeah. Anyway, the whole thing was this AI influencer was there to talk and engage with the fragrance
just to like
community.
Basically just simulating a fragrance influencer.
So
that's it.
There are innumerable ways why this is just a whack idea. What I don't want to do is spend half an hour just like stating the obvious and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
sucks.
To get it out the way. Dumb.
Boring. Like, unoriginal.
They can't smell. They don't have memory.
Exactly.
They don't have point of reference.
Exactly.
We can go back to this, but AI doesn't have taste.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yes, I saw a lot of the fragrance community getting very rightfully riled up about this. And then in the same breath, we found that the AI person who is named Iris was started by Slate Brands, which is a beauty and largely fragrance incubator, which adds a whole nother level of gross to this. Yeah. So I guess the key takeaway from me is that I was really happy to, I was happy to see the backlash, but I was happy to see people getting pissed off and raising their voices and coming for Slate Brands in a way that wasn't like death threats, but a way that was like, hey, this is fucked up and here is why. We don't like this. It was the kind of response that is warranted and heated, but not out of pocket. And
okay, I didn't read any of this, so
yeah, there wasn't much to read because it all happened really fast.
Okay.
And then I think within a day or two, they had taken it down. They had wiped the grid. Mm-hmm. They had put up this like milquetoast kind of gaslighting apology that was like,
just don't. Sorry, just disappear.
Sorry, but not. And we're still right.
Wait, so why did they take it down then?
Because
they're still right.
Exactly.
Can't get that money back.
I don't know. I think this isn't, no matter how you feel or no matter how we feel about AI, this, I think, was obviously a huge fumble. I think it just showed the disconnect once again between the industry and the consumer. I think that the fact that they even had any impression that this would be received in a positive light again.
Yeah, I don't know who it was for. Was it for the industry? If anything, that's what I would think of, because it's all these kind of tone deaf CEOs like, how cool is this? We're going to be the first AI influencer or fragrance influencer. And then they're like, yeah, you should get on that. And then they don't think about the why or what the fuck for.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm going to be the first to do this.
And I think that there's...
Does the world need this? No. That should be your question.
And please don't...
You're not giving any... You're not adding any value to the space. You're not offering consumers or followers anything.
Right.
It'd be interesting... Maybe interesting, and other places already do this, if it was done in a way that's to reflect the fragrance community.
Sure.
If it collects all the data from it and reflects it back in a way that's interesting.
Sure.
That's one thing.
I like that take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it's a mirror.
Yes.
And that could also be a horrible thing, but like at least then we know, I guess we are a part of the fragrance community, but like then the fragrance community knows that this is including them.
Mm-hmm.
Not meant to replace them, because they inform it and they are informing it. That's the thing about AI, is if you are online, you are informing AI. But yeah, I just didn't see where the value was in this.
And it's also, not to state the complete obvious, but it was obviously going to be used as just a marketing research tool that was free.
Yeah.
And, you know, this UGC, these influencer paid posts, like, don't come cheap to the brand. So I'm sure that they were going to use that as a replacement to whatever. No matter what you think about AI, like, I don't want to saying it's here to say is defeating, like a defeating point. I think, and this is not a defense of AI. I am not super gung-ho about it, but from a completely neutral way, I think that there are ways that a brand would approach AI that do make sense in a way that maybe we don't love, but isn't posturing to be, hey, I'm your friend.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's the creepy.
I'm
when
one of
AI
you.
AI tries to simulate human stuff,
right,
that I don't. That's not, well, I don't think that's useful.
And to be coercing us into giving them our opinions or data or whatever, so then a brand can then use it and take it back at us. And frankly, Slate Brands doesn't really make anything impactful. Sorry. Yes and no, but they could use the research, but not like this. And now more than anything,
I'm
just painted
sure
them in a worse light.
How this would collect research, but I don't know these things.
It wasn't long enough for us to find out.
Yeah.
It wasn't around long enough for us to find out. Yeah, I don't know. Transparently, so this doesn't come back to bite me in the ass, the brand I work for right now is very excited about AI, and we're using it in a lot of ways. And I don't love it, but I use it insofar that I can just do my job in the way that they want me to and whatever. I definitely get all of the conflict with it. I definitely get all of the ethical and environmental impacts. Like,
it's...
There are things overlooked every day that, like, the data about how it is infecting our planet is out here and we should pay more attention to and talk more about. But all that to say, I don't think it's, like, inherently evil. Like, I'm also not a numbers...
That's the thing. I understand it as a tool.
Yeah.
And
yes.
As a mirror.
Yes.
Because the whole thing is that it uses the data that we have created to give us other information from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like because... Our culture is so focused on extractive practices for everything. Of course, we're going to use this tool to extract as much as we can from everything and everyone. So it's not the tool's fault necessarily, but it's like its usage.
It's the team's fault.
Yeah.
And I'm a creative. I'm not a numbers guy. I'm sure that there are many things on like the back end of whatever that it does create huge amounts of efficiencies for. Hopefully it's not taking anyone's job.
Sure.
But like you said, that's a really great way to say it. Like, no matter what you think about it, I think it can be a tool to someone. On the creative side, I think we are pretty threatened by it because we don't want it to take our jobs in terms of creative teams or photo teams or copywriters or this and that. Yes, all valid points.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that the people who are in charge of implementing AI are the people who don't see the value in human work and fingerprints and also don't know the efficient ways to do things. So of course they're like, great, what an economical way to replace all the inconveniences of human behavior in the operations line. But human behavior is also what makes things
right. It's just interesting that this
fools
made it to market at all right now.
Yeah, the sentiment is real bad.
It's really not good. It shows a gigantic, like I said, disconnect from the consumer and a pretty large tone deafness.
But do you remember the first digital influencer, Lil Miquela?
Yes.
And how everyone was like, this is so cool. And I remember when I saw it, I was like, my immediate reaction was like, oh, ew, this is so weird. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's so well done to the point where it's hard to tell that it's fake was scary. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it's like technically talented, but like, it's creepy.
Yeah.
And then like, I was looking at all the comments, like she has millions of followers. I'm looking at all the comments. Everyone's like, you're so cool. Like people are commenting as if it's a person. And then I was like, okay, y'all are cooked. People like celebrities, like I think like Pat McGrath commented because she did the Pat McGrath thing. She's like, stunning. And I was like, Pat, you're a creative. What the heck? People that I wouldn't necessarily have thought would be behind this. And then I was like, is this a fucking thing? Like, what's going on? And then there are more digital models like this. And of course, there are all these like ethnically ambiguous or black models.
Of course.
Largely run by like tech companies owned by white dudes. I'm like, this feels so icky. Mm-hmm. And the fact that brands are immediately on board, like Adidas wants to be the first person to do a campaign with Lil Miquela. I was like, y'all are snap out of it. God.
Yeah. Then this morning, as I was getting ready for the show and making my homosexual breakfast, I saw that L'Oreal just signed this or just moved into this partnership with, I'm going to butcher this name, forgive me, NVIDIA, N-V-I-D-I-A, an AI enterprise that focuses on rapid development and employment of AI, like the scaling of 3D digital rendering of L'Oreal products and the fusion of AI and generative AI and expanding creative possibilities. From the article that I read, it sounded like this partnership was going to engage every parts of the business from like marketing to accounting to creative. So yeah, I mean, depending on how you look at it, we're cooked. But I think it speaks volumes that one of the largest beauty conglomerates is investing and leading so hard into
L'Oreal
AI.
Maybe the first. I have the money to do it.
Not all that exciting. But I guess my question is, if they're going to do, like, this is probably not for this podcast, sorry. But like, where does AI creative come into beauty? Because isn't the whole point of beauty campaigns and visuals to see the product in action? And if that's generated, then what are you looking at?
I think there is an advertising law, or maybe it's like an FTC thing where, like, for instance, like a L'Oreal mascara ad, you have to have used the mascara in the ad. You can't digitally enhance that.
Right.
Like that's illegal to show whatever, like lengthening or volumizing, whatever. So yeah, like I would think that AI would immediately not pass the test in that regard.
Yeah.
But I see people do AI content. Everyone's like making like really big versions of the product.
Sure.
And it's like putting it in like a in situ in an environment.
Yeah.
Like I see those. So it's not like an ad. It's like more of a campaign. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But I feel like there are people in offices who do know right now. Mm-hmm. And they think they're thinking they're so clever. And I'm like, no, wait, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg right now. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I try not to be so defeating about it because I think it's one of those things that whether we like it or not, it's here to stay. And two, it's also, I have to remember that we're using AI every day, whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
Predictive text is AI.
I need to turn that off.
I know,
it's so annoying. I never use it.
So my predictive text is so gay. It's so embarrassing. Anyway, congratulations to the fragrance community for wiling out on them and getting that shit taken down. Slate Brands, you will be dealt with.
You know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. They could fucking learn a thing or two.
This critique
should not blow your chances of working with anyone,
especially
when they're clearly fumbling and need to talk to an expert in the space.
Yeah.
Slate Brands, our phones are open, specifically Sable's.
I would love to consult. I have so many ideas and no willpower to execute them. Yep. So between the two of us.
There was one more thing. What? I could be wrong. Oh, maybe I was. So in between us sits the second coming of a fragrance that I love so much, but we're at Sable, so why don't you take this?
Dias & Durga just relaunched their fragrance, Crush Balls. Did you spray it already?
No. Oh, your smells good.
I just got like really congested over cold, but I smelled it before. So Crush Balls is their like tennis themed scent. It was one of their studio juices from like a while ago, like a year?
2 years ago.
2 years, like a while ago. And lo and behold, now that it's summer, they are releasing the scent of the summer, which is a tennis theme. And I have noticed within the past couple of months that like, oh, wait, there's like a big thing with tennis themed fragrances.
And just tennis culture in general.
Tennis culture.
Yeah.
Like, when did everyone get so into tennis?
I think it also stems from the choir luxury.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. In rich people's sport.
Yes.
I don't chase balls. I attract.
Please.
I never got into tennis as a kid. Good for you if you have. So I don't particularly, I'm not drawn to this. I think it's a nice scent in general.
Yeah. I'm actually thrilled that this is back. I loved it. They sent it to me the first time around. And yeah, I like you, don't really give a shit about tennis either way. But I was like, sure. Faith asked me to cover it. Yeah. So I was like, whatever.
It smells like a nice cologne.
It's
like a
nice,
very modern, fresh, sporty cologne.
Bright, tart, juicy, fruity, but through a cologne lens.
Yeah.
I feel like this was the precursor to those three colognes that they just put out. This,
ooh,
you know what I mean? This was sort of like, ooh, wait a minute. They're not alike, but this is a very juiced up, very modern version of those.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's such an exquisite fragrance. And it bummed me out that it was so limited edition as a studio juice. But I'm really excited that they brought it back. I just think it's really such a unique and gorgeous and fun wearing experience. Crush balls.
I look forward to wearing it.
You look forward to smelling it when you finally can.
Exactly. I can smell a little bit now, actually. That's why I was like, oh, it just smells like a nice modern cologne, like in a very updated, fresh way. That's like,
I love it. I think it's so fun.
Yeah, it's a good scent. I feel like this is a good blind buy if you want to like gift somebody a scent who's into like sporty stuff or is looking for like a new cologne.
Yeah, this is a great gift. And
cologne-y.
Yeah, gifting fragrances is risky.
Yeah.
But if they're a tennis enthusiast.
Yeah.
This is so easy to love,
for sure.
But so exciting and not out of left field, but it's a little bit of a risk. But I do think it's a good blind buy, a good gift.
Yeah. They had a Diaz and Durga hosted a tennis event this past week, or was it last week? I didn't because, again, like I said, I don't chase balls.
Yeah.
I was like, me? You want me to run around now? You want to bring me here to make me run around? I do like the little skirts, though, I will say.
Yeah.
So I'm like.
Yeah. I went to a Paula's Choice tennis event a year or two ago, and I was like, well, that's enough.
Oh, I remember that. No. Wasn't there like a celebrity or someone?
No, but there was a professional photographer. Thank God.
Oh my God. The other super basic smell that I like, Tynan is spraying. Burberry Hero released another flanker.
It's nice.
An intense.
I was actually too scared to smell this one. They sent it to me too, and I haven't broken it up.
I'm actually trying to, I feel like they had.
Oh, wow.
I feel like this isn't new, but for whatever reason, they.
No, I think it is new.
It is, because I'm like, I know there was another flanker.
Yes, but it wasn't this dark. It was like an ambery.
It's like, who was it? Who was the other flanker? I thought it was an intense. Am I crazy? Hero Parfum.
This is a Parfum Intense.
So was the other one like, okay, so there is Hero, which was an Eau de Toilette in 2021. Then there was Hero Eau de Parfum in 2022.
Oh.
Hero Parfum in 2024. And now Hero Parfum Intense. I feel like it's the galaxy brain meme.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Why? What is the reason?
Money, girl.
But what is different?
I'm not sure, but you know what? I like this one.
I liked them all.
I remember not loving Hero. This smells like something I would have worn in college.
I liked Hero. I gave it to a friend, but I feel like I've liked better each subsequent flanker.
Okay.
I think they keep getting better.
Okay.
And now Hero Parfum Intense.
Led by a signature of cedarwood oil. Hold on, let me talk into this mic so I don't hear it again. Led by a trio of cedarwood oils, top notes, black pepper, leather notes. Okay, I guess cedar, oil, black pepper, and leather. This is quite nice.
It's nice.
This is quite nice.
I had a funny thought because these both came to me recently, the Burberry Hero Parfum Intense and the Victoria Bear Suede Vanilla. And like,
sound it out, girl.
I know. These fucking names. And I was like, they were like on my desk next to each other. And I'm like, they would absolutely, these two fragrances would be the couple that's, we saw you across the room and we liked your vibe.
Oh my God.
The normies who are weirdos.
Yeah.
I don't want to say weird. That sounds judgmental. But the normies who aren't as normie as you think.
Yeah.
I was like, you really are that couple, aren't you? Anyway, separate. Get away from each other. Separate cages.
I'm going to wear this.
It's nice.
It is nice. But you know what, though? We've said before, of all of the fashion houses that have the fragrance collections, Burberry gets it more often than not.
Yeah.
They're so... My like teen years, I've always loved Burberry fragrances.
You know what? I feel like this fragrance is like what I want Aesop fragrances to smell. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I want.
I can see that.
Because I feel like if someone wore this and I was like, oh, you smell great, I would almost expect them to say it was like an Aesop, but no, it's a Burberry.
Oh, I like this. I'm going to wear this tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a little hot.
Did they send it to you too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really nice.
And then I guess the last thing that...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Can we talk about this? Can we talk about that? Oh, fuck.
I think this is out now. It's a... Yeah, they're like summer flanker.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Can we talk about Burberry Hero?
Pretty sure. Shit. Because they wouldn't send it in the like nice mailer if they didn't want us to post it.
You'd think. That mailer was pretty.
Usually they send they want you to post. So I'm just going to assume that. And if I didn't, it's on Fragrantica, so it you already know it exists.
But talk to me about this one.
Okay, so Sol de Janeiro has their... I feel like they do this more than once a year, but they release like a limited edition summer body mist. And this one's called Sundays in Rio. It's a fruity gourmand. Okay. They call out, savor the energy of a Sunday in Rio with inviting notes of warm vanilla, pink pepper, and amber. This one read really fruity to me.
It seems very fruity.
Omitting several fruits in this description. It's nice. It's fun. That's like a fun scent.
All their scents are fun.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like some are trying to be more like sexy, like Va Va Voom, sure. And this is like, this smells to me the way Mariah Carey Rainbow album cover looks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fruity. It's sexy. It shows a lot of skin. You know,
really fruity.
Really fruity. I was like, why did you not lead with the fruits? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But do you, Sol?
Yeah, I do feel like they are trying to, because they do so many body sprays, and because body sprays, as well as the scents themselves, lean so young, I feel like they're trying to wrap these in more adult concepts.
Mm.
And, you know, whatever it takes.
They're quite conceptual in that regard. Because, like, Sunday in Rio could mean anything.
I like that. Nice. I'm not a body spray person, but I do like essentially every Sol de fragrance that comes out.
You know what's funny is I was reading the Fragrantica page just now I was reading the comments for the Bare Suede Vanilla, and someone commented, this smells just like Sol de Janeiro, Heroes of 59. And I was like, well, I guess I'm the last to know again.
We are the body spray situation is...
What's their face? Boy Smells just released Body Smiths. Wow. Body Mists.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
In the same sense or new sense?
I think both. I think there's one existing and a couple new ones.
I haven't smelled any of their new scents. And I'm curious to smell them, but I feel like they're hiding.
You don't need to be.
I do want to smell if they changed Violet Ends, because that was my
favorite. I want to smell. So they sent me three, but they didn't send me any of the sort of reformulations, which I'm curious about Vanilla Era and Hinoki Fantôme. Because if you change Hinoki Fantôme, you're going to catch it. We were just having this conversation last night about Boy Smells, because they did. I think we can all agree that they fumbled the relaunch, the rebrand, whatever, with just the messaging. Again, frankly, with a fumble like that, like the visuals and come second, the fragrances. But it's interesting that people, were so up in arms about them essentially taking all of the queerness, like the heart of the brand, out of the rebrand. And then them following it up, 6 weeks later with Citrush, which was...
They're like, look, we're still edgy.
Right, which was their pride fragrance last year. It was meant to smell like poppers, whatever. So they clearly like... And I think the relaunch of that was a little quieter, and they had... That is an inherently queer product, so I'm not going to say that they like took all that away as well, because they didn't. It wasn't quite as pointed as it was last year, and it wasn't quite as like, you know, where you were queer as it was. But it's just so odd to me that they clearly had that done, dusted, in the works, whatever. That was... coming out at the time of the relaunch. I don't understand why it looked the way it did with all the queerness and the heart of the brand gone when they still had this in the world. You know, like what's... If anything that worked in their favor or could have, I don't know.
I feel like their relaunch should have been a diffusion line for Sephora. Like,
well, I'm sure Sephora said you got to kill the rest of that shit and give us...
No.
Yes.
That's not an ask that should have been obliged then.
I agree, but...
Change your whole brand to sell to fucking Sephora tweens? Okay.
It's essentially a new brand.
And look, I don't know their finances. Maybe they were like, shit, we really need this. But there was a much cleverer way to do this.
Yeah. And again, like...
Which, sure, has apparently only come to light in hindsight.
The fragrances and the aesthetic are not the issue here. And I think this could have been a more successful or at least a more embraced rebrand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just messaged it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So I will say that they sent me, again, three new ones. One, Rosy Cheeks, was a no for me, dog. The Sugar Baby was...
Oh, what was that one like?
A no for me, dog. Okay, okay. And then the coconut one, actually, I didn't hate it. I wanted a little bit more from it. And I guess what I mean by that, to be more specific, is the smell itself was nice enough. I think it could have had like more going on, mm-hmm, a little bit. But I would have also loved it a little bit stronger. They're all very... And this is not me being a hater. This is me just giving my thoughts. They're all very sort of surface level and very thin, yeah, and not very long lasting in a way that also feels like the antithesis. Probably. I'm not quite sure. I actually don't know. But I don't think it was bad to pull back from how bold the Boy Smells fragrances were, because those were crazy. But yeah, I think they pulled back a little too much. Yeah. I know I had a lot to say and still do about the rebrand. I don't think all is lost if they could get it together.
Yeah.
Because you can fumble a launch, still have a brand or whatever. Yeah. That's not out of the question. I don't think they've done it yet. I think there's still a lot of anger and a lot of hurt around how they showed back up. And I know that because I'm still seeing people yap about it, myself included. Here we are.
Interesting.
But yeah, I don't know. I do want to see what they did to My Girl Vanilla Era and Hinoki Fantôme, though.
I am curious just to smell them. I haven't really
smelled them yet. Two of their new candles at Beam. And they're fine. They were good.
Okay.
Yeah. Those smelled, I think, like true to what Boy Smells was. Rosalita was there, which I like that fragrance because it's pink, but I never really liked the fragrance in general, but it smelled exactly the same. Red Hot, I thought, was nice. And then Minty, for being a promise of mint, it let me down. But yeah, I don't know. A million candle brands.
There's so many candle brands out there. Anyway, yeah. A little midsummer catch up. How do we end this? What do we want to know? What do we want to ask the listener?
To not use AI.
Don't, if you can help it.
Or to use it responsibly.
Use AI responsibly.
What's better than using AI?
In your brain.
And that's coming from
struggle.
Me. Yes. Think.
You know what? There's so much value in struggling, and then what you get from that, the gratification, the satisfaction of coming to a conclusion yourself.
Yeah. I think banging the drum about being completely anti-AI is a little pointless, so I won't. Yeah. But I would just say it's always really nice to think critically.
Agreed. Agreed. Do it. Why not? What else are you doing? Read a book.
Read a book.
Anyway, thank you to our listener for sending a voice note. If other listeners would like to do so, you can find our hotline on our website, smellyoulater.live. We also have some merch there. We are on Instagram. You can follow us at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.